One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
You remember the story I told you about the man? A man got a little snake, a little boa constrictor snake, you know. And the man said, I'm going to make a demonstration out of this snake. I've trained him myself. I got him when he was that small. I mean, I've had him all of his life. He's in complete subjection to me. And the man stood there, and the people were interested. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, when I call for that snake, he'll come. When I tell him to come out of that cage over there, he'll come. When I tell that snake, he can wrap me completely around with all of his big form. He said, he'll do it. When I tell him that he can relax and get off of me and get back in that cage, he'll do it. I've done this for years and years. And so, and the people read it. And he said, all right. And he gave the signal, and out came the old snake. Great, big, huge, big snake. And that old snake put on his act. He wound around his legs and kept a-coming and covered the man up. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing exactly what he's always done. He said, I've trained him and said, in a moment, when I tell him to go back to his cage, he'll go back to his cage. A man with no fear at all. The old snake completely covered him up, and his head was sticking up above the man's head. The man was talking, just left his mouth. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, this snake is well trained. And all of a sudden, his body began to tighten up around the man. And the man's face turned red, and the man fell on top of the snake. And he was dead. And published, he came across the world saying, you can never trust a snake. He had him well trained, didn't he? He could have killed that snake when he was little, couldn't he? No trouble at all. He could have pinched his head off before he had enough poison or had enough strength to tighten around a little finger or any part of his body. He could have killed him when he was little. But he didn't do it. And therefore the snake killed him when he was big. That's exactly what your sins are doing too, but you just don't have sense enough to see it, do you? And the time will come when you'll say, okay, turn me loose. The old snake has said, that's what you think. I got you now. And the little girl's gone. And so they reported OD. She's dead. She's in the prison for life. The little boy's going to the electric chair. He didn't realize that when he took his first sip of daddy's beer, see, he didn't know. That'd be done for. Would you let me give you another illustration? I'm talking about reaping what you sow in the chickens coming home to roost. Mothers and daddies that are not saved, there's no way on earth for you to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's no way for you to have a Christian home or a happy home or children that'll be obedient. No way on earth. The average Christian home is not any more Christian home than a coyote on a King Ranch. Why? They don't read the Bible, no worship, no recognition of Jesus Christ, no prayer, no fellowship, no sweetness of heaven, no singing of gospel songs. I mean, everything's in the home that's in the world. But one night after the senior prom, and I don't know, every little girl feels like, and every little boy feels like I've got to go to senior prom, and every boy's got to feel like he's got to get a flask and put it right there, see? Well, this is the night, and we're going to have a shot of liquor. So on this night, this young couple got the car, and they were decorated and doctored up and perfumed, and they were having a great time, they thought. After a while, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the tires began to screech on the highway. And you talk about steel coming together and tin tearing off and fenders going and windshields and glasses breaking and shattering, and I heard just a scream, and everything got quiet. The old ambulances came from across town. I want you to know those old red lights are turning, and that's the end of the senior prom for somebody. They picked the boy up, and he was dead. And they picked the young lady up, the beautiful young lady, and she was unconscious. They rushed her to the hospital, and they finally found out who she was, and they called the daddy and the mother and said, "Your little daughter's here, just hanging between life and death. Her little body's been crushed tonight." And they beat it over to hospital. All they had in life was that little girl. Business didn't mean anything anymore. Nothing meant anything. That little girl. No, they had a lot of thoughts as they rushed to the hospital. They walked in the room, and the little girl was laying there unconscious. No more talking to dad and mother. There was a strong smell of liquor. And the nurse said evidently she was drunk tonight. And she's still saturated with liquor in her blood. And she's lost much of her blood tonight. The daddy, after he walked out of the hospital room, wondering if she'd ever live to see the daylight. And the nurses said, "Go on home. We'll call you. Stay by the phone. We'll call you tonight. If we need you, you're not needed here now." And the daddy said when he walked into his car and told his wife, he said, "I'll kill the fella that gave that little girl of mine liquor tonight." Oh, listen. He got home and walked in, and his nerves were shattered and his hands were trembling. And he walked into his cabinet and reached up for his bottle of liquor, and it was gone. And there was a note and said, "Dear Dad, this is senior prom tonight. I didn't think you'd mind if we borrowed your bottle of liquor. I'll kill the man that gave her the liquor." The chickens had done come home to roost, hadn't they? Mothers and daddies, how on earth do you think you're going to take your children to heaven when you're going to hell? I'm talking to people out in radio land and across this country. I'm talking to preachers. I'm talking to deacons and talking to people that claim to be Christians, and yet no spiritual exercises in your home. And then you wonder why your little children are running the highways and being raped and ruined by the world. They've never had a dog's change, even in a so-called church home. It's time for us to quit playing church and start having some Christianity. The writer of some 30 songs, and yet completely wrecked and ruined when she came here, so far as the world. Wasn't a psychiatrist or a doctor or a hospital or an officer or a policeman or a penitentiary or a psycho ward could do anything to help her. She was through. And Jesus came walking on the water and rescued her. And now then she's writing songs and singing. "I got so many, many blessings. I just don't mind my troubles no more." Folks, what about you? Are y'all just going to drift through the home? Are you going to get something while you're here and go out and be a witness and a missionary? Nearly about everybody's a prospect. Well, he said if you're depending on doing all of it yourself, you'll never make it. You're going to have to trust in the Lord. A little leaven, just a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. You know, that's a warning verse, isn't it? Yes, sir. He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Girls, may I ask you a question? What kind of a testimony are you going to be to the girls that are coming in now? What kind of a Christ are they going to see in you? Just what kind of witness? I mean, do you really have a burden? Do you realize that this home is a hotbed of opportunity, of evangelism and helping somebody? Why do little girls come to this home? Do they come just for a vacation? No. They come because there's a need. There's something missing in their life. Now then, if you know the answer, why don't you tell it? Share it. Most of you do. And yet, did you know, I've said this, a lie will be half around the world before truth will ever get its boots on. Truth goes so slow sometimes, and a lie will just go every which way. Quiet. The world likes to hear a lie. They like to hear the things of the world, the things of the flesh, and that's the thing many times. And you know, girls, let me say this, and to the men and women that have lived off in the world, don't ever talk about the past. If it's ugly, just don't ever talk about it at all, except to give a testimony and say, "That's the Lord delivered me from it, and that life's all over. He's put his blood over my life, and I don't have to live like that. anymore. So, be a good testimony. And then as you go into school, as you go through school, the academy, you say it's going to be different. Sure, don't we need something different? If I were to put on the radio right now that we're ready to take 100 girls in the boarding school, the Rebecca Academy, we're ready to take 100 girls, I'll guarantee you, in 48 hours after I made that announcement, the 100 girls would be on their way. But we don't have that kind of room. We work with people that need help. Of course, they're going to need help probably if they have to go many times to the public school system because of the temptation. But he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But he said, he that troubleth you shall bear judgment. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Have you ever thought about the verse? Did you know the cross is offensive? You know why people get the feelings hurt? It's because they got feelings. Did you know when you're crucified with Christ, you don't have any feelings left? Have you ever gone to a funeral and a dead man spoke out of the casket and said to the preacher, "You hurt my feelings"? Have you ever heard of a dead man that was being embalmed or maybe carried on a stretcher and say, "Be careful now, I'm a little uncomfortable"? No, sir. And why? He's dead. All right, come on now. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so, when you're crucified with Christ, what did they do to Jesus? Did he have any feelings left when his chin fell down and when he said, "It's finished"? Do you think his pain was over? Sure it was. He didn't have any more feeling. Now, when you and I are crucified with Christ spiritually, our feelings are gone. You couldn't get mad. So people say, "Oh, I just got my feelings hurt." I've had that so many times. They say, "Well, my husband, he went to church over there, but he got his feelings hurt." Well, if he'd have been crucified with Christ, he wouldn't have had any. I'm glad our workers are not always getting their feelings hurt. I don't know of any worker around here. We've got the sweetest bunch of workers you've ever seen in your life. And I never do worry about hurting somebody's feelings. The offense of the cross. The cross is offensive. It's offensive. The world hates the cross. It hates death. It hates this blood. It hates Jesus Christ. This world literally hates Christ tonight. And the cross, the preaching of the cross, is foolishness to them that perish. And it's an offense. People are offended. And that's when people come to church. If the gospel is preached like it ought to be preached, and they go away mad and say, "Listen, I don't appreciate that. I mean, you talked about what I've been doing." I just preach the gospel, and it's offensive and always will be. Is that the way with me? I didn't like it. I got saved under a preacher that about halfway made me mad anyhow. I mean, he's just too strong. I mean, he didn't have to say all that, but he did. And I got saved under that kind of preaching. And the Lord is blessed. And we just need to the place where we're not, the cross is not offensive to us at all. "I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, don't ask for liberty in the flesh, because the flesh will never be free. Never in this world be free. And you know, we got a strange notion across the country today that wrong has turned into right. There's nothing wrong with being impure. That letter that I read from that girl, why, she said, "I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong with doing what I've been doing, and I plan to continue. The only thing I'm disturbed about is mother has taken my protection away from me." And she said, "I know that I'm going to be in trouble now right away." And she said, "God made me like that, and I think it's all right." Isn't that stupid? Why, I may get mad enough to kill somebody, but I don't believe I ought to. I could say, "Well, God made me that way. He made me where I could get mad. And he told me how to pull a trigger and load a gun. If you don't do to suit me, I'll kill you. God made me like..." No, that's what the devil did. I get tired of people blaming Jesus for what the devil's done. But you tell me, you go back when we had happy homes. Every man had one wife, isn't that right? When God got ready to make a wife, let's just go back in the Bible and see what he did. He said, "Adam, how about it? It's not good for man to be alone." So he made him what? A helpmeet. He made him somebody could help him. Now that's the place of the wife. Jesus attended a wedding, didn't he? And provided refreshments at the wedding. And Jesus is for the right kind of a marriage. But let me tell you something, girls and boys and men and women, and you can call me old-fashioned. When America lived like this, she was a great nation. When she quit living like that, she's gone, just like all the rest of the nations are gone. She's wrecked. And when you wreck your moral standing in a nation, then the nation's wrecked, dishonest and all the rest of it. And so every nation looked like it's gone down the same thing. What did the Romans do? The Roman Empire failed just like America's falling. We're doing the same things the Roman Empire did, and I guarantee we're going in the same direction, and the day of judgment is rapidly hastening on. Let's read and see what he says about the things of the flesh in just a moment. He said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's good, isn't it? Love your neighbor just like you love yourself. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." I want to know what they are. I'm going to let him tell me. I'm not going to just depend on Brother Wolf's imagination. I want to know what the works of the flesh are. I've tried to warn you already. I've told you what I think somebody... I'm going to let him tell you. Which are these? Number one, adultery. You know what that is? That's just immoral living. That's just living in the flesh. That means being untrue to God. You know the daddy of physical adultery, you know what it is? It's spiritual adultery. You know what makes people live in the filth of the flesh? It's not being true to Jesus. I'm engaged to him. We're to be married now, most any day. I mean, he's already sent out the announcements. And we're just waiting, not for the sign, but the sound. I'm engaged, and I'm a part of the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And now then, you suppose I ought to be true to him? He's built me a big mansion. Oh, you talk about some mansion, and that's what the Bible, you say, I don't believe it. Well, that's your hard luck. I'm going to be in mine. You can go somewhere else if you want to. I just know what the Bible says, and I'm going by it. And God never has lied about anything I've ever trusted him with. He's taken care of every need I've ever met in my life. And he meets all the needs of all the homes, and he saved me when I was lost, and called me when I needed to be called, and he supplied my needs and blessed me with health and strength and traveled with me and saved me from death at least 24 times. And so I just go ahead and believe in him. I never have found anything better than that. I'm engaged to be married. Now, what kind of a lover should I be? You think maybe I'd say, well, I don't know. While he's away, I believe I'll flirt with the world. I believe I'll play hands with the world. Now, that is the worst adultery you'll ever commit right there. And that's the daddy of all the rest of it. And the reason people live crooked and wrong is because their heart's not right. When you get your heart right, then Jesus lives in you. And he comes in and he lives his life in you. And so we are to be true to him because he's coming for us one of these days. He wrote us a tremendous love letter, didn't he? Here it is. And this comes in every day. Get a love letter from me. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I'm engaged? I get a letter every day. I do too. My fiance, oh, he sends me a letter every day that wrote, except it's a long one. Oh, it's a long one. And you talk about making love, I'll tell you, it's all through. He tells me how much he loves me. He said, now I'm coming for you one of these days. You be ready. Be all dressed now. Be all, because we're going to have a great wedding, a 1,000-year honeymoon. And we're going to go around the world, and we're going to see this and see that. And I got your mansion built, and my father's house are many mansions. One of them's yours. And so he just tells me all about that, you see. I tell you, God's people ought to get more excited than they do. Amen. I mean, we're not far from home now. We sure not far from home. God's people. I tell you, we're treading on the verge of old Jordan right now. And we're going to cross over one of these days. And the last battle is going to be fought. And one of these days, the old banks are going to declare their last dividend. And the last tired clerk and secretary is going to close up for the day. And then I'd like to ask you one question. What then? What are you going to do then? When they say there's no more cotton to plow. There's no more feed to harvest. There's no more trips to make. Oh, listen, there's never another day at the Rebecca Home for Girls. So far as the leaders are concerned, they're all going home that are saved. And all the little girls that are saved are going home to be with the Lord. You say, what's going to happen then? The tribulation is going to begin. We're right on the verge of it now. We're seeing pre-tribulation signs all about us now. The weather, the home, the school, the church in its deadness, wickedness, homosexuality, Satan's church, dope addiction, liquor consumption, all of it, every bit of it, is leading right up to the time when trouble will break forth, such as the world has never seen and never will see. I want to know what the works of the flesh are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, just name it, whatever you want to call it, just uncleanness. I think that even means your person. I think everybody ought to be clean. I think it's a sin to be dirty. We teach cleanliness around our home, our kitchen, our dining room. You know, they come out here and inspect us from the States. They said it's the cleanest kitchen we've ever seen in our life. That's where it ought to be. Beds and sheets and clothes and girls and dresses and everything ought to be kept completely clean. Anybody that loves dirt hates cleanness. I appreciate everything being kept clean. God gave us a beautiful building, two of them, two big dormitories, and they're kept clean. And everything is so plush and so nice. And we believe in being sanitary. We believe in mental hygiene. But listen, the main cleanness is inside. He said, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. So we're uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. A little girl came in here. Oh, listen, bless her little heart. I tried to capture her confidence. I tried to help her. Her mother and daddy drove all night long from a distant state. They drove many a mile. They came in so weary and so tired, and we asked them to go down and get some rest in one of the hospitality apartments, and so you can come to the service. And when the service was over, oh, the little girl, she looked at me with such meanness and venom, and she was a little boa constrictor. I tell you, she'd have squeezed the life out of me if she could. And I said, honey, could we help you? She said, I don't need your help. I don't want you. She said, I hate this place. I hate this place. I said, Mother, don't you leave me here. Daddy, don't you leave me here. And they couldn't keep her at home. She's a runaway. She runs all the time. They never know where she is. And Dad and Mother are desperate, just desperate. A little brother was sitting over there hoping little sister would stay. But oh, the little girl, she said, I hate this stuff. She said, where are your glass slippers? You know, well, your little Cinderellas around here, see. I care nothing about living like that. I don't want to be a Cinderella. I don't want to live pure. I don't want to live like your little girls live around here. I want to run with the world. I want to take my dope, and she's been on dope. And there she is, a desperate mother and daddy. And Daddy came into the study the next morning after a good night's rest and said, we're taking her home. More than likely, I'll bring her back. I said, probably you won't. I doubt if she'll ever make it, but in case you do get ready to bring her back, you better sure call us, because I think every bed will be taken in, and it'll be too late. I wish she'd stay. I wish we could help her. It grieves me. You think she came and thanked us for the hospitality apartment or the food or the... She's as full of ingratitude as a snake. And she said, I'm leaving here. I want to get back with my crowd. You know what the daddy said? The daddy said, Brother Olof, she hasn't got one decent friend in the city where we live, not one. She hadn't got a decent friend. Every friend she's got is of the devil and mean and ugly and sorry and immoral and trifling and full of dope. And that's what he took her back to. Train up a child, bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What am I talking about? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. You know what that is? That's dancing set to music. That's what revelings is. Revelings and such like. I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that ruined it all, didn't it? That means people that do those things are not going to ever make it to heaven. My, I believe I'd just chop off. I'd say, Lord, have mercy on me and give me victory. But you know what? I must tell the truth. I just couldn't do all that. I mean, I couldn't give up anything till I got saved. And so, listen, let me mention this to you so you'll understand the gospel I'm preaching. If you gave up every one of those sins, every one of them, and you never did another one of them again, you still wouldn't go to heaven. Unless Jesus saved you. Now, that's the truth. So Brother Olof doesn't preach just a negative gospel. I don't preach any sort of a negative gospel for a lost person. I preach that he's got to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when a person becomes saved, don't you believe it's time to take off the prison garments?
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message entitled, Reaping What You Sow. To receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3253. Include the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for at least $10, and we'd like to have at least a further gift if you can for the ministry. That's the way it's kept on the air. Now the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love. The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer. And we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.